Good evening. It's good to be with you all this evening. We'd like to say hello to everybody joining us online here tonight. Our wonderful pastor is taking a break from the pulpit tonight, so he asked me to step in. And so we will be taking a break from Revelation. And if you have a copy of God's Word with you, I would invite you to open the Bible to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and there's a lot of them. And as you're finding your place in the Word of God, I want to ask you a question. What do you fear the most? Some people are afraid of snakes. Some people are afraid of spiders. In recent studies, people have a fear of going blind. They have a fear of having Alzheimer's. I want to share with you tonight what I am fearful of. There is going to be a picture up on the screen here shortly. That is something that I am very fearful of. If you invite me to come over to your home with me and my family, and there's these dolls, I might be a little afraid, just a little bit. And I think there was something that happened in my childhood that traumatized me. As I saw these dolls in probably a scary movie, I couldn't tell you when or where that was, but I felt like they were just staring at me the whole time whenever I'm in the presence of these dolls. But some of these fears that we have, we can do things to help keep them at a distance. We can steer around them. But there is one fear that we cannot steer around or avoid, and that is death. Death, it's not an easy topic to discuss, but it's something that we must understand. And here is the reason why I want to share with you from Luke chapter 16, what happens to the soul when you die from Luke chapter 16. My hope this evening is for you and I to gain more wisdom from the Word of God, to be able to share with the world, our family and our friends, that there is life after death. Because this world is not our final home. One theologian said, death is a temporary end of a bodily life and a separation from the soul and body. Once a believer in Christ has died through his or her physical body, though it remains on earth and is buried, at the moment you taste death, your soul, if you are a believer, goes immediately in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Today, as we look at Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19, I want to share with you about some history here on this section. Some people say it's a story. Some people say it's a parable. One thing we can agree on, that it comes from the mouth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, in my humble opinion, everything that Jesus said is truth. Jesus is God, so what he is telling the Pharisees and the Jewish crowd at this time, and not only them, but his disciples, it's very important for them, and it's extremely important for us today, and it is the truth. So, without further ado, if you're able to stand with me in reverence to God's Word tonight, would you please stand as we look at Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19, and we'll read through verse 31. And the Word of God says this, and I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, feasting lavishly every day. Verse 20, but a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, was left at his gate. He longed to be filled with what fell from the rich man's table, but instead the dogs would come and lick his sores. One day, in verse 22, the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus at Abraham's side. Verse 24, Father Abraham, He called out, "Have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this flame." Son, Abraham said, "Remember that during your life you received your good things, just as Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here while you are in agony. Besides all of this, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those who want to pass over from here to you cannot. Neither can those from there cross over to us." "Father," verse 27, he said, "then I beg you to send him to my father's house, because I have five brothers to warn them, so they won't also come to this place of torment." But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. They should have listened to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." But he told them, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." You may be seated. Here we have 4 points I would like to cover with us tonight. The first point that we see is the introduction of two characters. The introduction of two characters. Look at verse 19 through 21 again with me in Luke 16. We see that there was a rich man who would be dressed in purple and fine linen, feasting lavishly every day. You know, but poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, was left at his gate, and he longed to be filled with what fell from the rich man's table, but instead the dogs would come and lick his sores. This rich man was dressed in this fine attire, and this picture tells us that this man was in an elite class by himself. He was dressed as somewhat royalty. This rich man lived a life of luxurious things. He lived his life to the fullest. He had paradise on earth. And in the second character, we see a poor man named Lazarus. This man was a beggar. The Greek word paints a picture that this person was worthless. He was covered with sores, and he was left at the rich man's gate. Looking at the text here, in the Greek language, this word tells us that there's a picture painted that's very, very heartbreaking to me. The Greek word here is balo, which means to throw. And so this man, Lazarus, who was poor, was thrown out to this man's front gate. Scripture does not tell us this, but one can assume that Lazarus was at this gate, not on his own accord, but he was there probably by somebody who was tired of taking care of him and threw him out of his house, and now he finds himself at a gate, a beggar. And then in your outline, in letter C, we also see the desire of this poor man. What did he desire? Crumbs. He desired crumbs from the tables at which people ate, and at the crumbs around the table, dogs would roam after each meal. Dogs were considered filthy in the first century, especially to Jews. This man named Lazarus, by the outside appearance, has no hope. From the outside, he looks like he has no future. From the outside, he has no friends. This scene right here should remind us of one story that's in the Bible. Does it sound like the prodigal son a little bit? Why do I say that? Well, Lazarus is eaten with filthy animals, dogs. The prodigal son is eaten with filthy animals, dirty pigs. And as we continue on through our outline, we see in letter D, we see a misconception in this passage. In the first century, the rich man, according to the Pharisees, who I believe Jesus is talking to in reference to them, that they are the rich man, the Pharisees would have been about the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is not a new thing in 2022. It has been going on for ages and centuries. And this is what the Pharisees were thinking. That from their point of view, since this man was poor, he was cursed. Since this man was filthy and covered in sores, he was cursed. Their view of him was poor. And of course, repeating myself again, these Pharisees looked at Lazarus that he has no hope. Today, I can see that the people at First Baptist Church Garland have a special heart for their neighbor. I can see, as somebody who comes from the outside and who has been here for a couple months, I can see that you have a heart for the needy. Folks, I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage us, and I want to encourage our brothers and sisters online. We are the forerunners of the gospel, and we should be the ones who are feeding the poor, having compassion for the poor. We should be about compassion, not about karma. And I'm reminded of the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10. May we as a church body continue to bring mercy to a dying world. So here in Luke chapter 16, in a couple verses, we see the introduction of two characters. Next on your outline, we see the destination is immediate for these two characters. Look with me in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 22. One day, it says, the poor man died and was carried away by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, verse 23 tells us, the rich man looked up and saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus at his side. Father Abraham, he cries out in verse 24, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this flame. Abraham said, son, remember that during your life you received your good things just as Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here while you are in agony. Letter A in your second part of your outline. Death does not discriminate. We see that both of these men face death. Lazarus, being poor, probably has no friends at his funeral. He has no family ties. The Word of God doesn't tell us that. He has probably not a proper funeral. The Word of God doesn't tell us that, but one can assume that. And on the opposite side, one can assume that this rich man was buried. He probably had a proper burial. But notice something about Lazarus. He's carried away to Abraham's side. Once he tastes death, immediately he's in the presence of the patriarch. Most importantly, in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Lazarus had a very tough life on earth, and some of you can relate. Some of us have very tough lives on earth, but when we face death, immediately we step into paradise with our Heavenly Father. One theologian said this about Abraham's side. Abraham's bosom, may say in your translation. It may be even better to define Abraham's bosom or chest, not so much as a location, but a picture of a relationship with a father, a heavenly father, entering a place of peace. Now, in the context here, a Jewish audience, especially the Pharisees, would be shocking to hear this story being told before them. Why? Abraham is the greatest of all Jews. They bragged about that. And this Lazarus, who they thought to be cursed, who they didn't pay any attention to, they see him at the highest position that a Jewish person could be. Lazarus went from begging for crumbs with a man's best friend by his side, dogs, to the featured dinner guest at the father's side. Now turn your attention to the rich man in this section. He dies and goes to Hades. Hades tells us that it is a picture of torment. His transition from this earth is immediate, and it's a final place. There is no soul sleep in this section. There is no nap time for the soul. There is no purgatory. There is no way anybody can write you a check or pray you out of this place. Immediately after this person takes their last breath, he is in hell. And we see in verse 24 that this rich man is crying out. What's he crying out for? Help. He's seeking some type of relief. And when people say, I can't wait to go to hell because that's going to be a great party and all my friends there, that should drive us to our knees to pray for them. That should bring tears to our eyes, because this place is a place where crying and gnashing of teeth takes place. What a reverse of extremes here we see in this section. On earth, Lazarus longed for a bread of crumb, something to help his hunger. That moment and that pain that Lazarus have felt must have been felt like eternity for him to grab a piece of crumb. And immediately when he faced death, Lazarus is completely filled. Then we see the rich man beg for water. The Greek word that is used here as great pain tells us that he is in severe torture. And the rich man, according to this scripture, he had a lot of truth, but he missed the whole truth. Probably because he felt like he didn't need Jesus. And why do I say that? Well, if you look toward, we'll see that in the very end of our section as we close tonight. So just to review, we see, number one, introduction of characters. We see the next destination very immediate. Number three, we see heaven and hell are permanent. Look with me at verse 26 of Luke 16. It says this: besides all of this, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those who want to pass over from here to you cannot. Neither can those from there cross over to us. Father, the rich man said, then I beg you to send him to my father's house, because I have five brothers, to warn them so they won't also come to this place of torment. Once you're in heaven, there is no leaving. And once you're in hell, there is no leaving. In verse 27 and 28, there's something very interesting here. This rich man is doing something that we ought to be doing every day. He is wanting to see his family. He wants to see his family hear the good news. He wants to share with them the gospel. And that should be us. We should be wanting to share the gospel with our family, with our friends, and with our neighbors. This should encourage us. This should motivate us. This should reignite the fire that is within us to evangelize our neighborhood and our city. Evangelism and sharing the gospel is not just for the pastor. It is everyone who calls themselves a Christian. until you clock out for the very last time on this earth, we have to be people who evangelize this world. I want to encourage you, let us be like the Apostle Paul found in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am obligated, Paul says, I am obligated by both to the Greek and to the barbarian, those who are wise and those who are foolish. I am eager to preach the good news to you who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power of salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. My question to you tonight, what if you had the cure for cancer and you didn't tell anybody about it? What type of person would you be seen as? Folks, we do have the cure for cancer. It is found in Jesus Christ alone. And if any person passes from this life to the next, and they hear the gospel, and they believe, then they have been cured immediately for eternity. May we be encouraged to share the good news. The last part of the section that we see is the fourth point. Repentance equals following Jesus. Repentance equals following Jesus. Why do I say that? Well, look at verse 29 of Luke 16. And as we close into 31, the rich man says, but Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, they should listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent, the rich man says to Abraham. But he told him, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. There's some interesting words going on right here in this section. And when Jesus is speaking to the crowd about this truth, he says that the rich man and his family had the truth from Moses and the prophets. Jesus is literally pointing back to the scriptures. He's pointing back to the whole Old Testament. And the Old Testament shares with us and Israel that there is a Messiah who has come and is coming. He is the great shepherd, and he will bring the flock back. There will be a king that will come from the root of David, and there will be a great high priest, and it will all point to Jesus. And in verse 30, it says that if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. What a great word. This rich man that's in hell knew about everything we talk about in church. He talks about repentance. This rich man knew about the law. And if he knew about repentance, he must know about sin. And if he knew who Father Abraham was and he called him Father, he has a background and knowledge of the scriptures. What is something that he is missing? He is missing the heart change of following Jesus Christ. You can have all the knowledge here, but if God hasn't called you to repent and change your life, then you are just like this rich man. I am just like this rich man. We have a God who come to save us from our sins by dying on the cross to set you free. And it doesn't matter if you are Jewish, rich, poor, or what color you are. You need to repent and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to save you from your sins. Jesus is calling us through the Holy Spirit to follow him, for us to lay down our life and pick up our cross and deny ourselves daily and lead in this world of sharing the good news and discipling others. As I had studied this section here, this rich man reminds me of the rich young ruler a little bit. The rich young ruler who had it all said, I have done this, I have done that. What shall I do to be saved? Jesus says, sell everything and give to the poor and follow me. Jesus is asking us to give up something to follow him, because Jesus is everything we need. Tomorrow is never promised. Eternity is around the corner. Repent from your disbelief of who Jesus the Messiah is and follow him. I hope today that this word from the Word of God would be encouraging for us. I know I have a lot of work to do, and it begins by evangelizing our neighbors. Let us be people who are not afraid to repent and not be afraid to go and share the good news of Jesus. Let me pray and we'll close tonight. Father in heaven, I thank you for today, for the opportunity to share from Luke chapter 16. Thank you that you have brought about the free gift of salvation. And Lord, I pray that there would be a boldness in us to step out and not be afraid to share the gospel. Father, I know that your children, the saints, that are doing a lot of that behind the scenes. Father, I pray that maybe if there's somebody who is doing that on a regular basis, they would look at bringing a young adult along with them to be able to go and share the good news. Father, we're called to sharpen iron. We're called to make disciples. And what a great way to make disciples, by going together and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, may our hearts always be soft to people that are by our front gate. Father, may our hearts and our eyes see godly things. May we always be willing, through discernment, to help, to share the good news, to have compassion and mercy on people. But may we never assume somebody knows Jesus Christ just because they may have a good life from the outside. Father, we're called to go to the wise. We're called to go to the foolish, to the Greek and barbarian, to all people. Thank you again for your amazing grace. We look forward to a good night of rest, and we look forward to coming together to worship you on Sunday. Father, be glorified in all that we say and do from here on out. In Jesus' name, amen.